We're going to listen to Terry's interview with David Thorpe, director of the documentary film, Do I Sound Gay? Thorpe is gay and has no problem with being out, but he does, or at least did, have a problem with his voice. He thought it sounded annoying and stereotypically gay. His way of dealing with the issue of his voice was to make a documentary. The film, which Thorpe narrates, follows him as he seeks insights and advice from speech therapists and linguists and talks to gay friends about his voice and theirs. Thorpe also talks to several gay people who have very familiar voices, including David Sedaris, Tim Gunn, Dan Savage, and George Takei. One of the voice experts Thorpe consults, Susan Sankin, also joins the conversation we're about to hear. Sankin is a language and speech pathologist whose clients include actors, public speakers, and non-native speakers. Let's begin with a clip from Do I Sound Gay? Here's how the documentary opens.
Do I sound gay?
Yes, I think you do sound gay. Not as much as I do, but...
Yes. Yes.
Non. En français, non. En English, I don't know.
Yes.
Not at all.
Really?
It's your tone, which is, like, intellectual, so people can read it as gay.
I would have just maybe lumped you in the artsy-fartsy.
Sound creative.
You have, like, the S in the front of the mouth, which is part of the gay man stereotype.
There is something slightly melodic.
I think it's the nasality.
I would definitely rate you as a metrosexual.
No.
Not at all.
No.
You sound like a human being male.
Je sais pas. Je sais pas, on se connaît pas assez.
It's perhaps more the fact that I'm gay as well, so I kind of pick up on that.
You don't sound like gay, maybe because I'm steeped in gay.
You could sound gay if you wanted to make it a very, very cast a very wide net.
We enunciate. And if that's gay, mwah.
That was Tim Gunn throwing the kiss at the end of that opening collage from the movie Do I Sound Gay? David Thorpe, welcome to Fresh Air. Susan Sankin, welcome to Fresh Air. David, you realize that as you talk, all of us listening to you will be evaluating, does he sound gay? I don't know. What does gay mean? And what does gay sound mean? And that might distract us from what you're actually saying.
I'm used to it. It's okay.
Why did you start thinking, or perhaps more accurately, worrying about whether you sounded gay and what that meant?
Well, I've always been self-conscious about sounding gay, and I think that that comes from childhood. I grew up in the 80s, which was a less accepting time for LGBT people. And as Dan Savage says in the movie, effeminate kids, whether they are gay or straight, get persecuted for kind of how they walk and how they talk. And for me, I was always aware that my voice potentially kind of gave me away to bullies. When I'm not confident in my life for whatever reason, sometimes kind of those feelings of shame and stigma resurface. And I was prompted to make the film after I broke up with someone I was very much in love with and feeling like a loser, for lack of a better word. I was in my 40s and single and thought, like, why can't I still find love? And a lot of that, a lot of that vulnerability and shame about sort of my worth as a person resurfaced. And on top of it, I started to find myself repelled by gay voices. I had a lightning bolt moment on a trip to Fire Island after the breakup, and I should have been excited to be going to this place where I could heal and swim and be with my gay tribe. But instead, I found myself kind of repelled by these chattering gay voices around me. And it was a real lightning bolt because I felt like the world had turned upside down. I had fought so hard to come out of the closet. I'd been an AIDS activist off and on for 25 years. And here I was somehow 25 years later, alienated from the very people that I wanted to be a part of. So I knew that I needed to get to the bottom of my feelings, whatever they were.
Well, let's call in a speech-language pathologist who you consult in the movie, Susan Sankin. Susan, welcome. So from your perspective, well, let me back up a little bit. Was David the first person who came to you hoping you'd help him sound less gay?
No, not at all.
The interesting thing, though, was that David was the first person who came to me who was upfront right from the beginning about sounding gay and what he wanted to do. Very typically in the past, the clients that came would say to me, I think I need to improve my articulation or I have an S problem. And after a few sessions when they, I guess when they felt that they could trust me, they would say, you know, by the way, I'm gay. And so I've done this over the years, for many years, and I will say that there were more gay men that came to see me in the past than people who come now. You know, much the way David said in the 80s, it was a little bit tougher to be gay. I think now that in general, especially in New York City, that people are more accepting.
Susan, as a speech and language pathologist, when somebody like David comes to you and says, I'm not comfortable with my voice, I want to change it. In David's case, I want to sound less gay. Do you try to convince them that their authentic voice is fine, or do you automatically try to help them change it? If what they have isn't a pathology per se, like it isn't like, you know, a technical problem that they're having that's interfering with their ability to speak, like a stutter or the kind of lisp that might make it hard to understand what somebody's saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't try to dissuade them because when people come to see me, they typically, you know, have reached the point where it's really bothering them and it's interfering with communication. So whether it's somebody that comes because they sound gay or I work a lot with non-native speakers, they're coming because they're very frustrated in their communication abilities and it's preventing them from communicating and from being comfortable. So it's having a big effect on their life and limiting them in a lot of ways. So if they feel that they want to change, to explore their voice, to explore their speech so that they feel more confident, that's where I typically go with them.
If you're just joining us, I have two guests. David Thorpe is the director of the new movie, Do I Sound Gay?, in which he tries to reflect on his voice and see if he wants to change it or not. And Susan Sankin is a speech pathologist who he consults with for some help on his voice. David, as we heard in the opening of your movie, you're on the street interviewing people, asking them, do I sound gay? And so among the answers they give you as well, you sound a little artsy-fartsy. Susan, I want your reaction to that. And David, I want your reaction too.
That was a unique response, clearly.
No, I have heard that from other people. A listener once wrote in describing somebody, I won't say who, as sounding like an art fag. And it's like, well, you got to be kidding, you know? So, like, yeah. I've heard that before.
I also love the guy who says, you sound creative.
That's right.
You know, which was a kind of thinly veiled euphemism once upon a time for gay.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot. I hear you sound academic, you sound educated, you sound creative. My parents were academics. I laughed myself the first few times I got the artsy-fartsy thing. I kind of get it, and if that's what I am, great. I'll take it. Slot me in that category.
And we should also acknowledge that there's a whole lot of, like, stereotyped projection onto the interpretation of the sound.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing I always like to emphasize, Terry, is that there is no such thing as a fundamentally gay voice. There is a stereotype, and there are men, to a greater or lesser extent, who embody that stereotype. And for some men, it's not just a stereotype, it's really who they are. And for some gay men, it doesn't apply at all. And it was important to me to put, you know, a very straight-sounding and acting gay man into the movie as well as a more gay-sounding straight man to illustrate that point.
Susan, it's my impression, and I'd like to hear your impression, that there are more and more straight men who are starting to have that sound that is categorized as a gay sound.
I think perhaps that's coming from the trend to embrace upspeak, one of my pet peeves. Mm-hmm. But that tendency to kind of speak in that way where you're going up makes your voice sound a little bit more musical. And I think that's what people associate with a gay sound to some degree.
So you're hearing that more in men and women, and in girls and boys.
The upspeak, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's just across genders. It's across age categories. It's an epidemic.
Right. Okay. So, you know, in dealing with David, though, upspeak was one of the things he came to you about. Did you suggest to him that he would sound more authoritative and assertive if he didn't speak that way?
I did, and we did work on that. As a matter of fact, we used the address at Gettysburg, which was a more serious toned piece. And
recite that with upspeak, and let's hear how that would sound.
67 years ago, I don't know if I'm getting this right, our fathers brought forth to this continent a new nation. Something to that effect. But I made David very conscious of the punctuation, having his voice go down, thinking about this, you know, the seriousness of this piece. And sometimes it's easier to do a more serious piece, to bring your voice down. And he was able to do it well. I think the hard thing is always to maintain it in conversational speech, especially in a casual social situation. But definitely it's possible. And again, it goes back to awareness. Once you hear it, you're able to change it. But a lot of people just are unaware of it or don't know how to change it. That's with a lot of my clients that come to see me say that they're kind of stuck. And I think David indicated this also, that he wasn't, when he was in high school, he didn't speak that way. And correct me if I'm wrong. But after he came out in college, he started, his speech changed, and he was kind of stuck and didn't know how to change it from where he was when he came to see me.
So, David, during the course of making your movie, Do I Sound Gay?, you ask a lot of people where the gay sound comes from, and then you get some interesting theories about it. Is there a theory that you particularly subscribe to now about how the so-called gay voice developed?
If I have to speculate about, you know, where the so-called gay voice comes from, for me, both the most predominant, you know, answers work. One is that as you're acquiring language, you tend to imitate the people you trust and you identify with. And certainly for me, that was a lot of women. I always had a lot of female friends growing up, and I don't think that's atypical for some gay men. At the same time, I totally get that when I came out, I wanted to be recognized as gay. I wanted the world to know I was gay, and I wanted to fit into this existing community. So I think my voice really did change after I came out. So I think that both the language acquisition theory and the kind of community, learned way of speaking hold water. It's kind of impossible to really tangle out, a single reason.
When you were in, I guess, grade school? Was it grade school that you started?
Middle school.
That you started taking speech therapy, that you were put in speech therapy. Let's put it that way. How old were you when you were put in speech therapy?
I was in elementary school when I was put in speech therapy for a lisp. A distortion of my S is what the form says.
And do you think you actually had a lisp, or do you think you were just sounding gay? I'm not sure what language to use for this. Do you think you had a problem that needed to be corrected, or do you think it was social stereotyping that made people think that you had to sound more normative?
You know, that's a great question. It may be that it was a little bit of both, because sometimes I do actually find myself doing the what Susan would call the interdental lisp, so putting my tongue between my teeth so that I say th instead of s. So I think I probably did have a bit of a lisp. And some linguists would say, look, everybody has a lisp, but there's a stereotype out there that gay men have this kind of childlike speech defect. And so gay men tend to think that it has something to do with their being gay. At the same time, it's hard to ignore the preponderance of gay men who tell me they had speech therapy.
A lot of men have told you that. David Sedaris tells you that.
Yeah, he is definitely the most prominent example. And he wrote a wonderful story in his collection, Me Talk Pretty One Day, where he called his speech class, it was a meeting of the future homosexuals of America. I think my linguist friends would probably kill me right now for even entertaining the idea that there's some relationship between an interdental lisp and being gay. But, you know, it's for me, the jury is still out.
There's a part in the movie where you're talking to a high school friend, a woman who you've been friends with since high school. So she knew mm-hmm. you when you were young. And she said mm-hmm. she felt a little betrayed when you came back from college. You spoke differently. You had more of a gay mm-hmm. sound. And mm-hmm. to her, that sounded inauthentic because it was a change from how you sounded when she knew you best. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you heard that difference in your voice and how you reacted to what she told you.
You know, I had never realized that my voice had changed so much until I started making the film and talking to my friends from high school. But once they mentioned it, I completely understood what they were saying, because when I came out, I was so excited to finally have found the courage to come out.
This was in college?
In college, mm-hmm. yeah. It was my freshman or sophomore year of college, that I just grabbed every gay symbol I could, whether it was the way I, you know, cut my hair or dressed or the way I sounded or the vocabulary I used. And it made perfect sense to me when my friends mm-hmm. told me this is what had happened. And that moment was a painful but ultimately worthwhile moment for me, because it hurt me a little bit when she said that, because I feel like I'm trying to be myself and here she is saying, you're a fake. At the same time, I understood what she was saying, because I myself wasn't comfortable with my voice and I didn't know where it came from and I didn't know why it had changed so much. And I myself was wondering what's my real voice.
David Thorpe is the director of the documentary, Do I Sound Gay? Susan Sankin is a language and speech pathologist. You'll find a longer version of their conversation with Terry Gross, which includes a discussion of the vocal issues upspeak and vocal fry, online at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air Weekend was produced by John Myers. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer and technical director is Audrey Bentham. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Roberta Shurrock, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. Our administrative assistant is Dorothy Farabee. Molly C.V. Nesper is our associate producer of online media. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bianculli.